from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right. Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm super excited because I'm here at Fenway Park with Sammy and Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast, at Play Tessie. And you guys live a different world than I do, which I love. I love it. Like, you revitalize me. You're like talking about not being able to sleep over tough losses and how excited you're giving high fives over transactions and all this stuff. I'm just worried about what's up in media dining.
This is the life we've chosen, Rob.
I
live and die with this.
I know, that's why you should listen to your podcast.
I had nothing going on until about 3 o'clock today. I woke up at 6 a.m. and could not go back to sleep. I kept thinking about Trent Grisham hitting that pop-up that just barely touched the wall. 9% hit probability,
sure,
by the way.
I never got a good angle. Did O'Neill have a good chance at that?
It was a tougher play than people are saying.
Being way too hard on him. I thought it hit the wall. I thought it was a hard play.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough play. It was just so... And it wasn't even a bad pitch by Kenley. It was right on the corner. Just,
yeah.
Ugh. God, okay. See,
it's
I
like
can't get over
Grisham. Like,
all right, listen, we want to bring you the best and the latest and the most entertaining, and the most insightful news and information and interviews, and that's why I went down to Clubhouse literally 15 minutes before we get on air to talk to James Paxton. So I want to play that for you. But before we do this, go to Wally in Fall River. Wally, how are you, my friend?
What's up, Bradford? I got a hot flash for you. Tim Anderson is selling used cars in Framingham along with Rusty Castillo. Mm. So those two guys are off the list. But as far as Vlad Guerrero goes, I think the Yankees are after him too. But can you imagine what that would do to our lineup, Bradford? I don't know what we'd have to give up. But it's worth taking a shot for Craig Breslow. I mean, I don't know what your gut feeling is, but I don't want to be disappointed again. I mean, Danny Jansen's all right, but he's not the answer to our right-hand power shortage. Two really ones that I think are reasonable, like I said before, Jorge Soler and Lewis Roberts. One of those two guys, plus Chris Bassett. I think two out of three of those, one of them two hitters in the pitch. As far as relief pitches, everybody's looking for that, man. Good luck with finding a decent one.
Well, Wally, a lot of good points. Thanks you for the call.
Everyone loves Vlad.
I think Wally's takes.
I want Wally.
Wally's suggestions are much better than the Tim Anderson one he had a few months ago. We all make regrettable decisions and proclamations.
We need him back in baseball.
Who? Wally?
Tim Anderson.
Do we need him back? Really?
He needs to have an OPS over 450, though.
Yeah.
What if we made Wally Craig Breslow's assistant? Because I love those ideas.
You need the old guy who's been around the block. The guy here, I'm going to run this trade by you. And that's honestly, I'm not even kidding though. Like that was a thing. That was a thing that Haim never really had. Like, going back to Theo, I don't know if you guys remember this. Theo had a guy named Bill LaJoy, mm-hmm. who was the old Detroit Tigers GM. He had Bill LaJoy. You know, we see these guys who bring in Chris Young has Dayton Moore in Texas. You have this dynamic a lot of times. And I think that with Craig Breslow, you have really competent people around him and Brian O'Halloran and Eddie Romero who've been here forever. But now you also have the sounding board of Theo Epstein. Who's on the payroll?
How involved do you think Theo is?
Not much.
I mean, obviously they keep using that buzzword, the sounding board.
Yeah, not much.
Where is he? Is he?
It's valuable to have. He's from Connecticut, right?
Is he around? Like, I haven't seen him yet.
I mean, nobody has. I mean, I think it's... It's also... Theo's no dummy because he also understands the dynamic of these guys are in the muck right now. They're in the grind. So it's not like he's going, hey, everybody, I'm here. What do you got for me?
He's a sounding board is what I figured.
His phone is on.
Okay.
It's like not like he knows everything about, like, because he hasn't been a GM in this game for years now. So it's not like he knows the entire crop of minor league.
He knows enough.
No, I know he knows enough, but I'm just saying he's not super well. Like, I guess I don't know, but I'm just assuming he's not super well versed on, like, the Chicago Cubs.
But you can also talk in parameters and say, you know, he knows, okay, would you, if you have a Vlad Guerrero, is it worth getting that Vlad Guerrero? Is it worth getting that guy? I mean, he knows enough.
Yes, he knows that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think he knows, like, the depths of the Toronto Blue Jays double A team.
Maybe not.
But
yes, but I agree. Again, my point overall,
philosophically and conceptually, yes.
Yeah, my point overall is I don't think Theo is going to, like, walk in the door and basically be like, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
No. So, you want to get Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Let me tell you how to do it.
Let me tell you how. Yeah. Let me tell you what's what.
Why will the Blue Jays not trade him?
You just got to ask nicely.
Why will they not trade him?
I don't know.
That's my white whale.
This is where you get the most value for the guys. The same thing with Mookie Betts.
The most value, the
1.5 years. All right, we're going to play James Paxton. I'm going to ask one of you guys a favor. Why we play James Paxton, go down and check on our guy Tyler with a sign. Can one of you guys do that?
Yeah,
I guess. See if Dom Smith has come out and have that reunion. If you missed it, Dom Smith sign guy. We have gotten him in the building. He has made a new Dom Smith sign. Dom Smith is meeting him. So Gordo is running down there right now. In the meantime, we're going to play you. Here's James Paxton back in the Red Sox clubhouse.
Last Sunday against this very team, surprised by the DFA? And then, like, how would you describe what transpired over the next handful of days?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting it. But I think just, like, roster-wise, had some guys coming back. You know, they had their reasons. And it's a bit of a whirlwind for me the last little bit. But Boston reached out really fast and I think wanted to get me back here. And I was interested in that as well. And things worked out for me to be back here.
What have the past few days been like logistically as far as traveling and, you know, getting all that stuff straightened out?
Yeah. My family's still in L.A. I spent a few days there as we were getting things figured out for me to come here. Got some workouts in, played catch, kept on going. And I got in this morning, actually. I'm going to throw a bullpen today and then get ready for when I pitch.
Just being uprooted, how nice is it just in that situation to go to someplace you just were, you know?
It's great. You know, like I said before, it feels like I never left. Got welcomed by everybody. It feels really good to be here, comfortable here, and just excited to be a part of what we got going on.
A week ago, like, we were talking about how you had felt like your stuff hadn't been where you wanted it to be. How much did you feel like, you know, over the course of even that Sunday night game, especially where you finished up, that you were kind of getting, like, did that one feel like it was a platform for you, like a kind of step forward?
Yeah, I mean, the velo definitely took a jump that night. I was trying some different things, and we were talking about some stuff here that may help me a little bit. I don't know if the velo will get back up to where it was before, but if I can get it, you know, to where I can go out and get 96 here and there, that'd be really helpful. So we're going to continue to work on some things here that I was trying in that game and keep on going with it.
James, what were the things you were trying?
I was trying to squeeze the ball a little bit harder to get my flexor involved into throwing the ball just because my arm's not snapping through quite as hard as it was. So getting the flexor involved by squeezing the ball harder hopefully will create some tension for me to throw the ball a little harder.
Could you feel it, like the velocity that we were seeing on the radar gun?
Yeah. I could feel like the ball was coming out, like it's just like jumping out of my hand a little better than it had been.
Were you checking with the radar gun as you were going?
Not every pitch. I kind of stopped looking at it this year because it wasn't good most of the time. But I could feel it coming out a little bit, so I kind of peeked up and saw some, you know, 95s, and I think there was a couple 96s, so that was cool to see.
You've always been a strike thrower. How do you account for the elevated walk rate this year? What do you think is behind that?
Early in the season, I was kind of out of whack with my arm. I didn't know where the ball was going as far as, like, my arm wasn't coming through quite as fast, so I was kind of dragging behind. I felt like I was in a different place than I was with my arm in space. So trying to rein that in has been a bit of a challenge. And I brought down the walks since the early beginning of the season a little bit. But definitely early in the season, I think I had a game where I walked like 8 guys, you know, so that's going to spike your walk numbers quite a bit.
Talk to him just about throughout the 2022 season, rehabbing here and just working with the team here. How impactful was that and kind of helping you get back to a major league, you know, ready point?
Yeah, I mean, these guys were fantastic helping me through that time. You know, we have great staff here, great trainers, great strength coaches, help get me back on the field. You know, I have a lot of love for the people here.
Before you got here, you'd made every start for the Dodgers. You know, obviously with that injury history, how are you feeling physically, and how have you felt as far as being able to post every day this year?
Yeah, physically I feel great. You know, there's no issues right now, and I'm going to continue working hard to try and keep it that way.
You said throw a bullpen today. Have you gotten a feel from them about when they would want you to slide in for that first start back?
I'll let them announce that. You know, that's not my job, but you know, I think it'll be pretty soon. He said Tuesday?
Yesterday, that's what he said.
Okay, then yes, it's Tuesday. I didn't want to step on his toes by saying it, but I'm going to pitch on Tuesday.
Were the Dodgers in communication after you get DFA'd about talks they were having?
We did have a conversation. I forget what day it was, but I knew that they were talking with Boston. And so I had a feeling that I was going to be coming back here, which I was really happy about. And my agency was aware that Boston was trying to get me to come here. I was pretty aware that this was a strong possibility.
But after last year, how much consideration did you give to coming back here?
A lot. You know, it's, for me, it was a family thing. We wanted to be on the West Coast, closer to home. My wife wanted to be on the West Coast, and you know, happy wife, happy life. So we decided to stay on the West Coast. But like I said, I love Boston, and I'm really excited to be here for the rest of the season.
So it was more of a location thing.
It was totally a location thing, yeah.
Last year, you know, you had obviously disappointed to have the season end where it did after pitching really well through the summer. How much does this feel like an opportunity to kind of like take, you know, to kind of finish what you didn't get a chance to do last year, particularly the team in the pennant race?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last year I kind of ran out of gas early on, had the knee thing that was keeping me off the field. This year I'm feeling good, feeling healthy, and I'm just really excited to be a part of what we have going on here and make the push for the postseason.
You know the training staff here, obviously, from your time, but the pitching coaching area has turned over since last year. What do you know about Andrew Bailey, and what have you heard from him since arriving, if anything?
Yeah, we had a conversation, and it was great. Really enjoyed what he had to say. I'm really looking forward to working with him. I've talked to some guys that have worked with Bailey, and said they loved him, so I'm excited to work with him this year.
Has the knee situation popped up at all this year?
It hasn't, no. Luckily, we've been able to keep that at bay, and I've been working hard on that, so just going to work on keeping it that way.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thanks,
everybody.
Welcome back.
All right, we're back. Baseball isn't boring. That was James Paxton. I want your takeaways, even though you guys didn't listen to a word of it, but we can get your takeaways. We were talking about Kenley Jansen. I promise we would talk about Kenley Jansen, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I did promise that.
You did.
You know what I like about Kenley? He was almost as starstruck by Matt Damon as I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd never seen him like that, so I assume that he was starstruck.
Can I also say this about Kenley?
Yeah.
Is that of all the people, when I showed up to the park in my horrific state, he had the most grandiose reaction to it.
What was it?
Yeah, what did he do?
It was just screaming and yelling, like, what happened to you? You're horribly disfigured.
Really? So how does a major league game not get him riled up? But seeing your face, that kind of... I've never seen him show emotion like that. So you have some magic power.
I do. I do have magic power. Well, speaking of magic power, this show has magic power. Baseball's been boring live from Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, 617-779-7937. What a time to be alive, people. There is a buzz. I'm not even saying this. There is a lot of times I say this. It's not true, but I actually mean it right now. There's a buzz outside Fenway, people holding up signs. People getting jacked up. There's a ton of Yankee fans here.
Big game feel to it, right?
Yeah, well, and this is, listen, this is what it is. The Red Sox-Yankees games have been the best crowds because the Yankees fans come, and it goes back to the best crowd that Fenway Park has ever had, which was the wild card game in 2021.
Yes.
Winner take all. Everything about that. And we've seen that dynamic. We saw it the first time the Yankees was in. We saw it the last two games. We continue to see it, and we're going to see it again tonight. So join the fun. Join the conversation. Join the festivities. Join the passion. Join the electricity. All of it. The Baseball Isn't Boring show. Right now, we're going to trend with Zach.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 11-8, the final in extras.
Another blown save for the Red Sox pen that makes it a league-leading 7 blown saves since the end of the All-Star break. They'll be back in action for the rubber match against the Yankees tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. Tanner Houck takes the mound opposite Carlos Rodon. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione will have all the play-by-play action. First pitch at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Trade deadline now just 3 days away. Both the Red Sox and Yankees active on the trade market. Sox yesterday acquired catcher Danny Jansen from the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for 3 prospects, while the Yankees acquired shortstop / outfielder Jazz Chisholm from the Miami Marlins, also in exchange for 3 prospects. Trade deadline is Tuesday at 6 p.m. In other Red Sox news, the team announced that they've DFA'd catcher Reese McGuire and pitcher Chase Anderson to make room for the newly acquired James Paxton and Danny Jansen. They've also claimed reliever Johan Ramirez off waivers from the Dodgers. Alex Cora offered an injury update on Tristan Casas in his pregame media availability. Casas will be going on his rehab assignment starting on Tuesday. Team USA Basketball kicked off their Olympic campaign this morning, defeating Nikola Jokic and Serbia 110-84. Kevin Durant leading the way for Team USA with 23 points. Update on the Celtics on the team, Drew Holiday added 15, Derek White with 2, Jason Tatum did not play. When head coach Steve Kerr was asked about Tatum not playing in the game, he said he simply was playing the combinations that made the most sense. Their next game is set for Wednesday afternoon against South Sudan. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Make a habit of it.
Brad Foe and Baseball Isn't Boring. WEEI.
All right, Baseball Isn't Boring. This is the show, Baseball Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. Subscribe to the podcast. I think we're going to have a lot of trade deadline stuff because that's what we're doing in the next couple days. There's no way around it. We usually have a ton of interviews. We had a ton of interviews. Last week, fellas, on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, it was co-author week.
Oh, yeah.
It was co-author. I had 3 people on who I've been linked to in books, regards to books.
Was that on purpose?
And you name them.
Yeah, it was co-author.
It was co-author week.
Joe Kelly.
Yep.
Gordo, your turn.
Mike Lowell.
Yeah.
Mike Lowell again.
No.
Daniel Bard.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
I knew that. We talked about this.
Yep. And
so wait,
I love.
This was planned.
What?
This was planned. So you, because you, it was, the schedule was great,
sure,
for you because planned. LA.
Sure.
Find your Joe Kelly.
Yep.
Colorado, you find Daniel Bard. Mike Lowell. Was that, so that was that on purpose? You saw the,
no, so what happened? No, it's not. I would like to take credit. So with Joe, because I was in LA, I knew I was going to talk to Joe. And by the way, Joe, he made a plea, and you can check it out in the socials. He desperately wants a jingle for Baseballs and Pouring because he owns the LLC for Baseballs and Pouring.
Is he thinking that's like 187?
He wants a jingle.
Cars for Kids.
No, he wants a song for Baseballs and Boring. Baseball. He actually said he first said Mark Hoppus gets first crack at it because it's his friend, Blink-182. So they'll get first crack at the Baseballs and Boring jingle.
I love that.
But we need a song. And so we said it on social media. Joe Kelly proclaimed it to everybody. We need this. So that was part of our conversation. We talked a lot about a lot of different things, and then Joe was back in the news yesterday because he's yelling at the Astros again from
great.
The dugout because that's what we do. And I was in communication with Joe today via text. I will say this. Just to say in September, Joe might be wearing some very special cleats.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
The baseballs and boring brand will never be hotter.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I put it together now. Yeah. That's awesome. Like Joely Rodriguez?
Yes.
No. Or like but like the custom cleats.
Like legit. Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is going to be awesome.
And boring cleats. And then Mike Lowell. But so what happened with Mike Lowell was I had reached out to him a while ago. And he called me and he said, you know, I was in Europe. Sorry. I'm like, okay, well, can you come on? I'm like, great. And Lowell's awesome. Like, Lowell's he's so good. Like, he's opinionated. He's, you know, he's obviously articulate and all of that. And his line when we get to the end of the podcast and we're talking about Cora's contract, and I'm glad he said it when he did because Cora agrees right there and the next day. But he's like, what are we talking about? $8 million. It's a rounding error on hot dog sales. I'm like, boom. Thank you.
But that's what we all fans, media, that's how we all feel. But good for him for saying it. Yeah. It's so small beans to us. Frustrating. I don't want to get into the money spending.
But you know what? They did it. They extended Alex Cora.
They did. But that's what we spoke about on our show. We said, like, the reaction isn't, oh, good, they locked him up. It's, oh, good, they didn't mess this up. It's different than it used to be. I hope it changes back, but, oh.
Yeah, like, think about it when we talk about, like, an Atlanta Braves extension. It's kind of like, oh, okay, they did it again, of course. And when the Red Sox do this, it's like,
we didn't mess it up.
Biggest exhale. Like,
yeah.
Sigh of relief.
Ugh.
So, and then with Daniel Bard, one of the things to note, because we talked a lot about how technology has changed pitching, and one of the things he said was, and I had heard this before, and we had talked about this before, how that there was the San Francisco Giants, he had heard that he was using this facial recognition software, you know, so they could tell. So I think it was this guy, Robert Stevenson, when he came to the team, they said, you know that they have your facial recognition. Like, they know, like, your mouth is open when you're throwing a changeup and it's closed when you're not.
That's crazy.
Which is, you can't do that in real time. You can't do that in the game, but I don't think it's against the rules outside the game. So, anyway.
No, it's like film study. That has to be
film study. Yeah.
You can't police that.
There you go. I also talked to Jalen Beeks this week, which he could. What are you pointing at him?
Sammy, he's a Red Sox legend.
Yeah, Red Sox legend.
Jalen Beeks, that's how we met.
I can't stand when people make that joke. Like, a guy played three games and someone goes, oh, Red Sox legend.
Yeah. We saw Brandon Phillips' Reds jersey outside earlier. Red Sox legend Brandon Phillips.
Most overdone joke.
Jalen Beeks is the reason why Sammy and I have been connected.
Yes, that's why. That's what I actually remember.
Yeah, he was throwing a sim game. Somebody hit a foul ball. I got it. Sammy came running down and he got the Jalen Beeks ball. But Jalen Beeks could be traded. He probably will be traded.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
He's had a year with Colorado.
Expiring.
He's expired. What's the face for, Sam?
I'm not saying to the Red Sox. He's going to get traded.
Okay. Not here.
Okay. All right.
You hate Jalen?
I'm sure he's a great guy, and we'd get along. But I just want a little better. I want Andrew
Chafin. Someone who throws harder or misses more bats.
I do. I'm just going to keep saying Andrew Chafin. And by the way, I haven't said this on air. Nobody looks more like a relief pitcher than Andrew Chafin. He looks like Kenny Powers.
Let's ask Andrew Chafin. We need to set something up with Sammy and Andrew Chafin.
I just want to hang out.
I don't know what that means. All right. Speaking of relief pitchers.
Get together.
Kenley Jansen. We're not out of the woods with Kenley Jansen. Well, no. I take that back. I retract that statement. We are officially out of the woods with Kenley Jansen trade talk. And here's the reason why. It's not because they, even if they're buyers, they wouldn't trade Kenley Jansen. It's because literally you cannot, trading Kenley Jansen now would be the equivalent of putting out a lineup that has eight guys in it.
Yeah.
You know? you not only need him to close, but you need a relief pitcher.
It would be the equivalent of putting out a lineup with eight guys and then giving the finger to the entire team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're way too short in the bullpen.
Yeah.
But that's my point.
Yeah. Like there was a time a month or two ago when everyone was healthy when you could have, and it would have been complicated just because of what you're saying, Sammy. Like the whole give the middle finger to the team and everything. But then Martin goes down, and then Slayton goes down, and then a couple of guys, you know, have a couple of hiccups in the bullpen, and all of a sudden,
so that's off the tip. That,
it's
there's,
off.
There's no scenario where you could say that Kenley Jansen's going to be traded.
Good, keep your closer.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, he hasn't been great, and I got to imagine. The combination has been, I'm not making excuses for him, but maybe I am. You come off the All-Star break, right? You have that week off, you're not good. And then you have another week off and you're not good. Like this whole week off thing's not good. And I'll come back to my original statement where they blew it in hindsight in these last 2 weeks was not being proactive, not doing the Brad Ziegler thing, not doing the Addison Reed thing, not doing the thing of like doing the things a little bit early because you know you have this stretch going. We didn't know that Kenley Jansen wasn't pitching in Colorado, but they did. And they knew that certainly with the state of Justin Slayton and Chris Martin, which by the way, we have updates. What do we get for updates?
The update here is that Cora would not rule out them returning by the end of the road trip, which ends August 9th. So it's weird. They keep the updates are so up and down, but it feels like a positive update.
I feel like the updates are kind of like weathermen updates. Like they've not been very accurate. So I'm kind of it's a positive thing that we're talking about them coming back, but I'm not going to get my hopes up just yet. I'm very
good. This young lady was just taking a video of me out here. So as you can see, but I feel like she might have caught me scratching my nose. This is like the Seinfeld episode.
Like the inside of your nose? Or
I don't know.
Can you not tell?
Did you catch me scratching my nose a little bit? No? Is the video okay? Or what? I don't know. Yeah. I just want to make sure. I want approval of this video.
It'll go viral.
I want approval.
That's a great Seinfeld episode.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right.
It wasn't a pick.
It was not a pick. All right.
Promise.
So Casas, you mentioned Casas' rehab assignment.
Yeah, Casas Tuesday, they think, will start a rehab assignment in Worcester.
Okay. There you go.
So
he's on his way.
I wonder how long they'll have him on that for if they try to rush him back a little bit. He doesn't seem like he's been rushing any part of the process, which I think is good.
No, but here's the thing, like you've heard the term traject machine a million times.
Yeah.
He's on the traject. This thing is a very real thing to help speed up the process.
So many mental reps with that thing.
Mental reps.
This is the machine you're talking about that replicates the pitches, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
so it has the video of the pitchers, and then you replicate the pitches.
So he told us, we were on the field with him talking. I might have mentioned this to you guys already, but for the listeners, Casas told us that he uses that machine not only to see the pitches that pitchers will be throwing to him, but to figure out which part of the baseball to aim for. That's how high level these guys are. That's so nuts to me that he's not just trying to hit the ball. He's like, I got to hit this part of the ball.
Okay.
And when he was talking to us about that was a little while ago. That was before he was swinging. And he's like, yeah, I've been facing guys on that machine. And my head, I go, oh, I didn't know he'd been swinging, but I just kind of played it cool as if like I knew, because I didn't want to be like, oh, I didn't. You don't want to act like you know what you're talking about or whatever.
He was swinging.
But yeah, it turned out he was swinging in his head.
And it's so festive out here. And we have our birthday girl back. She's back. What was her name again? Was it Marie? What is it now?
Gigi.
What? That was Gigi.
Gigi. Happy birthday, Gigi. Like, everybody's out here. There's Yankees fans. This young lady, she has a Yankees fan over a Yankees jersey over a Red Sox T-shirt.
That's not okay.
I don't know what's happening there. But yeah, I feel like this is going to be a good game. Are you guys sticking around tonight for this game?
We're like debating. It's hard because we don't have tickets. We'd have to walk around. Kind of
my goodness! Your poor legs.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, they look like it's unbelievable. Power through.
I have a sore IT band. Pat Brown's helping.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Well, now that you're on the Odyssey payroll, it's workman's.
I'm all good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good now.
So here's the thing, guys. As we sit here, as we head to the home stretch, as we power to the pregame show with Cooper Boardman, and this is going to be at the top of the hour. I think it was like 6:15 or something like that. I don't know what it is. It's an ESPN game.
6:10.
Thank you, Zach. 6:10. So what is your vibe right now? What is your vibe heading in? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
It's a big game.
Oh, look at this. This kid's
We're beefing
trash.
With Yankee fans out the
what?
Window.
You want to go?
Yeah.
It's a kid. It's a joke.
I know. We're just
I'm just kidding. Like, I'm kidding.
Like no, big game vibes tonight. You can feel it.
No, I'm not talking about the tonight. I'm just talking
in general?
Like, listen, I mean, Jazz Chisholm's here. He's in the lineup. So you're having trades made. Danny Jansen DHing. We'll give you the lineup in a second. While you guys are talking, I'll pull that up. What, Gordo, starting with you, when we get to Tuesday, when we get to I should know this. What is it?
Tuesday.
4 o'clock?
4 p.m. Eastern.
4 p.m. Eastern. When we 4:01, and it used to be where 6 o'clock.
Oh, it's
yeah,
wow, 6. It's later.
Yeah. Okay. So when we get to 6:01, it used to be like, remember the old like, oh, the fax hasn't gone through yet.
Yeah.
So when we get to 6:01, Gordo, you start first. Tell me what the Red Sox are going to do.
I think they're going to fill every need they have. I think they're going to get another right-handed bat, and I think they're going to get a left-handed reliever. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to light the world on fire with anything.
No,
no, I don't. It's easier to envision them getting a starting pitcher with control in the offseason when you can kind of reshape the roster. I don't think they're going to do anything crazy reshaping, like trade the Willie or Bray. Like, they're not going
to
trade.
You guys not listening to Wally? They're getting Luis Robert, Chris Bassett, Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah. So you
but
don't.
They're going to fill the needs. What? That's going to be enough.
Give me
that's
a name. Give me a name. Let's go. No, hold on, Sammy. Wait your turn. Gordo, give me a name. Who are they going to get?
I still have my hopes on Luis Renjifo.
Luis Renjifo.
I like Luis Renjifo, and if he came to the Red Sox, the fans here would appreciate him.
That's great.
Gets on base.
He's locked
fast.
Up the next year. What locked are you going to do with him? Who
very
knows?
Very versatile defensively. He's not going to light the world on fire with his defense, but he can play multiple positions. Going to get on base. He's going to run. He fits the team perfectly.
Doesn't
I know there's not very many bats on the market, and there's a lot of teams that want him.
Okay, what would you give up for him?
Well, my who says no, I want to say a week and a half ago at this point, was would you do Nick York for Luis Renjifo straight up? Straight up, pretty much one for one.
All right.
And I don't know. I think we got mixed reactions on that. I think a lot of people were saying they wouldn't do it. But I think that's what it would cost.
Oh, I think it might be
maybe more.
Might be a little more. Yeah, I think it would be a little more. Because you got to, quote-unquote, overpay with prospects just because they're so...
Especially with this deadline.
Yeah.
With that position, too.
All right.
The limited amount of bats on the market.
That's what they're going to get. Let it be said, let it be done.
Give me Luis Renjifo, and they'll get a lefty arm that lefty no one's arm. Ever heard of.
No one's ever heard of.
But
it's basically the modern-day equivalent of Big Fudge, correct?
Big Fudge.
Exactly. Yes. Love Big Fudge.
Best nobody was doing Who Says No for Big Fudge, Austin Davis, back in 2000.
Dear Maria, count me in. Best walking song ever.
There you go.
Austin Davis.
Also, Hansel Robles, who knew? Like, Hansel Robles.
The Undertaker.
Brian Bayo's got a pretty good walk.
Remember when Hansel Robles, like, almost got in a fight with the entire Blue Jays team and nobody for the Red Sox were like, we don't even know this guy's name?
Yeah. That was crazy. He was ready to fight the dugout.
Yeah, and everyone was like, what? Who is this?
Good teammate.
All right. Anyway, Sammy, it's your turn.
All right. I've already mentioned one of my guys. I think they're going to make a trade with the Tigers. Chafin, who I've already mentioned.
Okay.
And then this is a guy people won't know. Andy Ibañez. And you might be thinking, who the heck is that?
Who the heck is that?
I don't want him. He has an OPS over 1,000.
1,000?
First left-handed pitching, and he plays unbelievable defense. I think 89th percentile if comparing him to the rest of the league. So he crushes lefties, plays good defense. I think he runs fairly well, too. He's 31 years old, so I don't think Detroit's going to be too attached to him, and you can have him for next year, and I believe the year after if you want.
I think it's even more.
So this is a package deal. It's
Jason
and Ibañez.
You're getting two guys named Andy. Andy or Andrew.
Ooh,
and they're coming to Boston. And it's for Nick York and someone like Ryan Zephyrjohn, an arm that you're not too attached to that might have some upside that Detroit might like. That's my trade. It's not super exciting, but it fills both needs that the Red Sox have, and I think it. I mean, I know it makes them a better team, so that's where I'm going. Two Andes.
I think a lot of fans after the deadline are going to be annoyed that they didn't like come away with like a Vlad Jr. or something like that, but I think they're going to come away having
keep in mind
the roster.
Keep in mind, like, this is when we went. Let's go back to that 2021 deadline, right? They got Schwarber a few days before the deadline. But then still the deadline comes, and you're like, okay, you got to go out and get these guys. And really, this is how it works, where we're surfacing these names, especially with relievers. You got to get these guys, and they flame. I remember that year, almost every reliever was bad.
Yeah.
Every reliever was bad. Who was the guy from Pittsburgh? Gonzalez?
Oh, yeah. No. It was Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Everybody wanted him. PED guy or sticky stuff guy. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. Oh,
sticky stuff guy. Like, just flamed out right away. Went to Atlanta, right?
Yeah. So Washington, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but so you have all these guys. But when they I was doing that show, the Ness and Deadline show, which I'll do again, the Ness and Deadline show, and we're like Austin Davis and Hansel Robles, and we were came in like, what? Like, that's it?
Well, people
did. But those were useful guys.
Yeah, and they did the job. Hansel Robles got them to the postseason. And this is what I think they're going to do again. I don't think they're going to come away with like a Tanner Scott, and like obviously they already didn't come away with Carlos Estevez, who I don't think they were ever really in on. I think they're going to get a guy like a Hansel Robles or an Austin Davis that no one really knows or cares about. But like you look back at that deadline, Clay Holmes was also traded at that deadline, and no one had heard of him from Pittsburgh to the Yankees, and he was. I know he is what he is now, and like obviously all star, but kind of stinks.
Yeah.
You know what's
great? He was insane that year.
Fond memory about Hansel Robles. He would give up a 450-foot home run, and he would point up in the air as if he's telling the infield that the ball has been popped up, but then it would fly 37 rows into the seats.
He also bench pressed more than any relief pitcher in the history of baseball.
Hansel?
Oh, he's jacked.
Oh, he's big. I walked by him one time.
All right, before we go to break, let's give you the lineup for the Red Sox. Jaron Duran playing center field. Rob Refsnyder's in left field. Connor Wong is your catcher. Rafael Devers, third base. Tyler O'Neill, right field. Gonzalez playing first base. Jansen, not Kenley, but Danny. He's your DH. Zidane Rafaela is your shortstop. And Jamie Westbrook is playing second base with Tanner Houck on the mound. All right, we're going to storm on in one more segment to go before Cooper Boardman. I think it's Cooper Boardman. Zach, is it Cooper Boardman? Is it Cooper? Is it Coop?
Yes, it is.
All right, yeah, we got Coop. Cooper Boardman at the pregame show leading into the big, big showdown with the guys on the call. I assume it's Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione, correct? Yes.
Also, yes.
Yes, I'm right on the – my instincts are keen. Hey, everybody, you got that? My instincts are keen.
Always.
Let's go. Look at this. There are so many, like, every other – it's like every third person is wearing a Yankees jersey out here. I like it. It's good. It spices things up.
Rivalry.
It's all good. Right.
The crowd was ruckus last
night. Crowd is restless. They are restless. Are you restless? You ready to go? All right. Let's go. They're nodding their head. If I could, I'd give you a baseballs and pork stick. This glass is preventing me from doing that. All right. We'll be back right after this.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
I got your picture. I'm coming with you. Dear Maria, come me in. There's a story at the
like
bottom
that, huh? You like
of
that?
Let's go.
Let's go. Baseball Isn't Boring show. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Everybody out there, at BB Isn't Boring, subscribe to the podcast. You won't be disappointed. Everyone, Matt Damon knows. He has a t-shirt. Casey Affleck has a t-shirt. Noah Kahn has a t-shirt.
All big fans.
Alex Cooper had a t-shirt.
Is baseball?
Didn't keep it.
Oh, she gave it back?
Derek White is I think he's wearing his throughout Paris right now.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing is, we're in talks. Yep. There you go. Intern Tom has a t-shirt. Excellent job. So we're in talks with the Red Sox. I'm just going to say, I'm going to put the pressure on them. Where Sam Kennedy has said that he likes this idea. He likes the idea of having a Baseball Isn't Boring night at Fenway.
Oh.
He likes this idea. So I'm trying to think, well, you can't just like say it. You have to do it. You have to have things to do. And the people at Swing Juice will have, you know, whatever koozies to hand out or whatever it is. But I'm thinking, okay, who is the – if Joe Kelly is not available, which I don't think he will, so he can't throw out the first pitch, who should throw out the first pitch in the Baseball Isn't Boring night at Fenway Park? And I think if we're going to do it in September, which is most realistic, I think the guy to do it is Derek White.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I was going to say if he doesn't have a team by then, it could be Rich Hill. But I kind of – the Derek White one would fire people up.
No, Derek White.
It'd be cool if you could,
or you could do Rich Hill and then sign him immediately after he throws the pitch.
And he pitches that day.
He pitches that
day. That could be how they announce it. Like he comes out in a track suit, rips off the track suit, boom, he's in a Red Sox uniform. Yes. The crowd goes mild. Boom.
So there's a lot we have to do. There's a lot to get to after the trade deadline. We have to find a Baseball Isn't Boring song/jingle, right? We have to do this. If Mark Hoppus, he may or may not be doing it, but just in case he doesn't do it, we need somebody else to do it. And we have to start organizing for the Baseball Isn't Boring night. And by the way, as I said, I was doing the I was honored to emceeing the Home Run Derby and the at the Cape Cod League All-Star Game yesterday, and then broadcasting the Cape Cod League All-Star Game with John Mita Peral and Nesson. And that was my first Cape Cod League game ever. I mean, since I was maybe seven or something like that. And then next week, I'm going to have the opportunity to do my throw out a first pitch for the first time in my life.
Wow.
The Wareham Gateman.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly.
You better get it on film. I'm going to
I'm
going to evaluate your form.
But there's a lot of things that we have to pick through here.
Are you going
to
do it from the mound, or are you going to do a thing where they like,
come on.
Okay, just checking, cuz some I hate when people step in front of the mound and they do like a 45 foot throw.
He fell off a scooter.
The only problem is that my arms might be like currently broken right now.
I was going to say he did kind of lose his both arms. That's actually true.
All of this is injured. All this is a race against time. We have the Nesson trade deadline show where I have to get rid of this black eye to some point where I can put like a massive amount of makeup on it by Tuesday.
Just put the baseball boring sticker on it again.
It'd be great if you put a ton of makeup on it. You kind of look like you were CGI, but you were actually in the studio.
That's how I always do it. Yes. And then I have to be I like get my arm like it functioning so I can throw out the first pitch.
You got
to
work with the Sox training staff. They get such rave reviews.
Oh, don't even get me going. Jamai Webster, if you're listening, Jamai Webster, this whole thing about his sprained ankle. You follow this in Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the pictures.
So I said, you guys ever see Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, this is what Ferris Bueller's Day Off all over again. It was like, save Ferris, save Jamai. And the most classic line of them all, why Jamai's limping around because he got a pickleball thing, you know, prayers up for Jamai Webster. Ryan Spielberg, who works for the Rockies broadcast, also does MLB Network. He walks by, looks at him, he's like, "You're icing your shoe," and so what?
Oh, the pain.
And then so then Jamai convinces the Red Sox to take him behind the scenes and get like $10,000 worth of treatment. From, you know, and fixes his twisted ankle. Anyway, we've solved a lot of the world's problems, but that's a lot of things that are coming up, but I really appreciate it.
Question for you, Rob.
Yes.
The baseball isn't boring jingle/song.
Okay.
What vibe are you looking for that?
It's all up for it. It could be country. It could be rock. It could be techno.
Rob.
Whatever you want.
There have been a handful of times on Play Tessie that Gordo has done a little bit of singing.
I have sang. On Face Has
Can you sing? So we have a poem. We have an official. Dylan Cease wrote Baseball's and Boring poem.
Oh, you just got to get a tune behind that.
No, it's a poem.
But save that for the Cease and Cease
art,
show.
Isn't that just what music is? It's poetry, but with a tune behind it?
Yeah, no, that's the poem. That's going up. That's that's what we're gonna like knit in, like embroider. The poem onto the wall and hang it up. Now, this has to be a song. This has to be get something everybody excited. So when Joe Kelly walks out, we talked about this too. This is one of the reasons he needs this song. When he gets the Baseballs and Boring cleats, custom-made cleats, which is happening, he has to have this song to walk into.
You know what would be amazing? You know who sings on the Red Sox? It's Massa. If he could do a little 10-second long little jingle for you, I don't know. It'd be good.
I feel like Dom Smith would absolutely do something.
Both. Do a duet.
Ooh.
Dom Smith, Masataka Yoshida.
The collab nobody saw coming.
Oh, yeah.
Masa Yoshida and Dom Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Free ideas.
All right. Well.
We're all week.
Well, yeah. We got a lot to pick through. The last thing I want to get to here before we hit the pregame show with the great Cooper Boardman is we're sitting here and we're guessing what teams are going to do. All we know now is the Phillies could do nothing now and they would be one of the winners of the trade deadline, right? Austin Hayes, Carlos Estevez, best, you know, a really useful outfielder, all-star last year, and a closer. Boom, boom. Best team in baseball, already got better. And then you have the Yankees getting Jazz Chisholm. You have the Seattle getting a Rosarena. You have the Padres get a relief pitcher.
The Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, that's bizarre to me.
Well, he's locked up. Paredes is locked up for like four
they're
years.
They're an interesting kid because they could still trade rentals and say that they sold but acquired stuff for the future. Because Nate Pearson's 2.5 years of control and Paredes is 3.5 years of control.
They're going
for it next year.
So my question to you guys. So the Red Sox are going up. this list of teams the Red Sox are going up against. Like, realistically. Okay, you have the Royals, you have the Twins, you have the Astros, you have the Mariners. Those would be the
Yankees.
Top. The Yankees. And if you want to stretch it out, you could say the Orioles. The Orioles also have made moves. They got Zach Eflin, but they continue to lose. There's nothing more demoralizing than when you make deals like that and you continue to lose. That stinks. But yeah. When the Red Sox did in 2021, they could at least have the excuse that Kyle Schwarber had a bad hamstring.
Right? Yeah, and then when he came back, they
won.
Winning again.
Yeah. So of those teams, which is a team like you're most afraid is going to get better and take off?
I think definitely the Astros, because they are so under the radar after their ice cold start, and they have been on fire for, like, I think 2 months now, and there's just some awful vibe about that team that I just can't stand, and so that's my pick. They're very scary.
Okay, how about you, Gordo?
My take's going to be a really unpopular one. I'd watch out for the Yankees, because their lineup seems so bad right now, but you add Jazz Chisholm to it. They're going to get Giancarlo Stanton healthy, and then they're going to add Jason Dominguez to it, and they're still looking for another bat.
Jazz Chisholm is wildly average.
They have wildly below average.
I agree though that their Yankees are like they've been in a little cold stretch, kind of a big cold stretch. Well, we laugh about it.
The interesting thing about the Jazz Chisholm thing is that you hear a lot of not great for the clubhouse, whatever. The Yankees are so secure in Aaron Judge completely controlling anything that goes on in there. Like with Verdugo, with Stroman, whatever it is. But they are so secure in that.
What a luxury.
Oh, it's great. Good for them.
It's going great with Verdugo.
Okay, so you guys surfaced a couple teams. I'm going to tell you like what's become the most interesting team at the deadline right now.
Shoot.
The Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah, they're caught in the middle.
Do you think they could go back?
Because I'm just looking. They lost again today. This Blue Jay series might have blown them out of the water. So they were playing well up until the All-Star break. And when I was down in Texas, they were pretty optimistic. They're getting guys back and so forth and so on. But now, where are they at?
They are 4.5 back in the division and even more back in the wild. They're 6 back in the wild.
Yeah.
They've lost 3 in a row.
Right. So up until this series, did they get swept by the Blue Jays in this series, I think?
Sure did.
Yeah, so they get swept by the Blue Jays. That is a team. So we talk about the Rangers. The Rangers have, guys who are very, very tradable, including our guy Nathan Eovaldi. So Nathan Eovaldi is a fascinating guy at the deadline here. Because, and let's focus on the Red Sox. Sure, you got James Paxton. And sure, Greg Breslow said, yeah, we got our guy if something comes up. Well, if Nathan Eovaldi becomes available.
Oh, man. That's who you want.
Like, that's who you want.
How could you get better than that? That's a guy who he's familiar with the Red Sox. He's had a ton of playoff success. And he's a great pitcher. What more could you ask for?
And also, let's be honest, guys. The guys that they are banking on, you simply can't. There's nothing against them, but you can't bank on them. You get into innings situations with Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford and all these guys that are unfamiliar. Pavetta's too up and down. Bayo's too up and down.
I mean, a few months ago, we all had the conversation of, Giolito got hurt. I guess you put Tanner Houck in the rotation. And now he's your ace. And I know he's had a great season, and I'm happy for him, and I believe in him. But it's just as far as feeling comfortable in a playoff series, I still think you need a guy. I mean, ideally you have two, but they're not going to.
Well, that's
two.
The point.
Yeah.
That's
and getting there too, because I mean, Pivetta's had success, but there are so many of those starts where it's just. I mean, you saw it in Colorado. I mean, that was obviously like the biggest of the big blow up, and it's in Colorado. But he's had a lot of those outings, and it's like who do you feel like you can trust
that's,
more?
That, alternate. That's the thing. We can say just get in, but you have to have your pitching set up. You have to feel good about things. And we don't know where Houck is going to land. We don't know where Crawford's going to land. We don't know where Pavetta's going to land.
We've seen these guys, like, at the end of last year when Brian Baio had such a good first half, and then he just tore down.
To me, it's like, I don't know, like, how you do. You have 5 pitchers now. You have Paxton, whatever. But to me, it's worth investing. And the Eovaldi thing's also interesting because are you guys familiar with his contract about, like, the vesting option thing with it?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, yes, he has a vesting option if he hits an innings cap for the next
It's going to be super close.
But if he hits it,
what's the amount?
Why would he even pick it up? He'll just turn it down. Because if he hits it, he'll be good enough to get another multi-year deal.
Do we have a number on it?
I think it's like $20 million.
Oof,
I'll check.
Yeah, we'll effort that information. But the Texas Rangers were always sort of a wild card at the deadline, and the way that the Blue Jays of all teams, they've sort of buried them. I mean, when Chris Young sits there, he can't say, "Yep, absolutely, let's go."
$20 million.
Max Scherzer is another one. You know, so.
I mean, that's a team, the Rangers. If they sold this year, they could be good again next year. It's not like they'd be rebuilding.
That's the thing. I think that the Rangers, as much as it might pain them, like, bite the bullet, sell, see where it takes you. Because that doesn't automatically mean you aren't going to win. Sometimes it goes the other way, right?
Yeah.
And then you can be good even better next year.
And Gordo and I were talking about the Rays. They're selling off all their pieces. And Gordo goes, "Well, do you think they're going to make the playoffs now?" I said, "Absolutely. It's the Rays. They have this black magic that they
it
do.
It doesn't even matter."
Yeah. Sell everybody. And this guy you've never heard of comes up and hits 400 for a month.
So the last question is, which team – this is that, and I'm going to write this down. This is very important. Which team is going to get red? There's always a team that gets red hot after the deadline. Which team is going to get red hot after the deadline? Sammy, go first.
I'm going to go with the Orioles based on the law of averages. They're cold right now, which means soon they'll switch back to being hot. So I think that's the team that's going to get hot after the deadline. They also got Eflin. So
okay.
Good ad.
All right. Orioles, give me a National League team, Sammy.
Gordo's giving the National League team?
No, you're giving me the National
League team. Oh, a National League team? I think Philly's just going to
even count.
Okay, you want a team that's cold right now?
No, I'm talking about a team that's going to come out of nowhere and boom.
Oh, I could see a National League team. I could see the Cubs getting hot. Cubs are fine. They're like an okay team. They added Isak Paredes. How is that pronunciation?
Yep. All right, let's go. Hurry.
Yeah, their issue is the bullpen. If they fix that a little bit, I think they're
all right, real quick, Gordo, what do you got?
My National League team, I'm really confident about Arizona. They're gonna
fighting Lavellos.
They're gonna get healthy in the pitching staff. Corbin Carroll,
Jordan Montgomery, he's back pitching. I think he's pitching decently. Yeah, there you go.
And Erod is gonna get healthy.
Erod's back. Yep, I like that pick.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll, and they're adding. They're adding. So
they are adding.
AJ Puck, I really like AJ Puck. Love AJ Puck. In the AL, let's be optimistic here. Give me the Red Sox.
All right. Red Sox.
Good guy, Gordo.
Red Sox. Hey, listen, guys. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Play Tessie at Play Tessie. Gordo, Sammy, thank you so much. We're going to get ready. Cooper Boardman leading into the first pitch. This is a big game. Remember, baseball isn't boring. Zach, Beyond the Glass, excellent job. Baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Subscribe, rate, review. But most importantly, just enjoy. Baseball isn't boring. See you next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
I got your picture, I'm coming with you, dear Maria, count me in. There's a story at the
Let's go. Baseball Isn't Boring show. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Everybody out there, at BB Isn't Boring, subscribe to the podcast. You won't be disappointed. Everyone, Matt Damon knows. He has a t-shirt. Casey Affleck has a t-shirt. Noah Kahn has a t-shirt.
All big fans.
Alex Cooper had a t-shirt.
Is baseball?
Didn't keep it.
She gave it back?
Derek White is, I think he's wearing his throughout Paris right now.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing is, we're in talks. Yep. There you go. Intern Tom has a t-shirt. Excellent job. So we're in talks. with the Red Sox, I'm just going to say, I'm going to put the pressure on them. Where Sam Kennedy has said that he likes this idea. He likes the idea of having a baseball isn't boring night at Fenway.
Oh.
He likes this idea. So I'm trying to think, well, you can't just like say it. You have to do it. You have to have things to do. And the people at Swing Juice will have, you know, whatever koozies to hand out or whatever it is. But I'm thinking, okay, who is the – if Joe Kelly is not available, which I don't think he will, so he can't throw up the first pitch, who should throw out the first pitch of the baseball isn't boring night at Fenway Park? And I think if we're going to do it in September, which is most realistic, I think the guy to do it is Derek White.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I was going to say if he doesn't have a team by then, it could be Rich Hill. But I kind of – the Derek White one would fire people up.
No, Derek White.
It'd be cool if you could,
or you could do Rich Hill and then sign him immediately after he throws the pitch.
And he pitches that day.
He pitches that
day. That could be how they announce it. Like he comes out in a track suit, rips off the track suit, boom, he's in a Red Sox uniform. Yes. The crowd goes mild. Boom.
So there's a lot we have to do. There's a lot to get to after the trade deadline. We have to find a baseball's and boring song/jingle, right? We have to do this. If Mark Hoppus, he may or may not be doing it, but just in case he doesn't do it, we need somebody else to do it. And we have to start organizing for the baseball isn't boring night. And by the way, as I said, I was doing I was honored to emceeing the Home Run Derby and at the Cape Cod League All-Star Game yesterday, and then broadcasting the Cape Cod League All-Star Game with John Mita, Peral, and Nesson. And that was my first Cape Cod League game ever. I mean, since I was maybe 7 or something like that. And then next week, I'm going to have the opportunity to throw out a first pitch for the first time in my life.
Wow.
The Wareham Gateman.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exactly.
You better get it on film. I'm going to evaluate your form.
But there's a lot. So there's a lot of things that we have to pick through here.
Are you going
to
do it from the mound? Are you going to do a thing where they're like,
come on.
Okay, just checking.
What's wrong with you?
I hate when people step in front of the mound and they do like a 45-foot throw.
He fell off a scooter.
The only problem is that my arms might be like currently broken right now.
I was going to say, he did kind of lose his both arms. That's actually true.
You are
injured.
All this is a race against time. We have the Nesson trade deadline show where I have to get rid of this black eye to some point where I can put like a massive amount of makeup on it by Tuesday.
Just put the baseball isn't boring sticker on it again.
It'd be great if you put a ton of makeup on it. You kind of look like you were CGI, but you were actually in the studio.
That's how I always do it. Yes. And then I have to get my arm like it functioning so I can throw out the first pitch.
You got
to
work with the Sox training staff. They get such rave reviews.
Oh, don't even get me going. Jemai Webster, if you're listening, Jemai Webster, this whole thing about his sprained ankle. You follow this in Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the pictures.
So I said, you guys ever see Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, this is what Ferris Bueller's Day Off all over again. It was like, save Ferris, save Jemai. And the most classic line of them all, why Jemai's limping around because he got a pickleball thing, you know, prayers up for Jemai Webster. Ryan Spielberg, who works for the Rockies broadcast, also does MLB Network. He walks by, looks at him, he's like, "You're icing your shoe," and so what?
Oh, the pain.
And then so then Jemai convinces the Red Sox to take him behind the scenes and get like $10,000 worth of treatment. From, you know, and fixes his twisted ankle. Anyway, we solved a lot of the world's problems, but that's a lot of things that are coming up, but I really appreciate it.
Question for you, Rob.
Yes.
The baseball isn't boring jingle/song.
Okay.
What vibe are you looking for that?
It's all up for, it could be country, it could be rock, it could be techno.
Rob.
Whatever you want.
There have been a handful of times on Play Tessie that Gordo has done a little bit of singing.
I have sang. On Playtest,
so we have a poem. We have an official. Dylan Cease wrote Baseball's and Boring poem.
Oh, you just got to get a tune behind that.
No, it's a poem.
But save that for the Cease and Cease
art,
show.
Isn't that just what music is? It's poetry, but with a tune behind it.
Yeah, no, that's the poem. That's going up. That's my. That's what we're gonna like knit in, like embroider. The poem onto the wall and hanging up. Now, this has to be a song. This has to be get something everybody excited. So when Joe Kelly walks out, we talked about this too. This is one of the reasons he needs this song. When he gets the baseballs and boring cleats, custom-made cleats, which is happening, he has to have this song to walk into.
You know what would be amazing? You know who sings on the Red Sox? It's Massa. If he could do a little 10-second long little jingle for you, I don't know. It'd be good.
I feel like Dom Smith would absolutely do something.
Both. Do a duet.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Dom Smith, Masa Takayoshida.
The collab nobody saw coming.
Oh, yeah.
Masa Yoshida and Dom Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Free ideas.
All right. Well,
we're here all week.
Well, yeah. We got a lot to pick through. The last thing I want to get to here before we hit the pregame show with the great Cooper Boardman is we're sitting here and we're guessing what teams are going to do. All we know now is the Phillies could do nothing now and they would be one of the winners of the trade deadline, right? Austin Hayes, Carlos Estevez, best, you know, a really useful outfielder, all-star last year, and a closer. Boom, boom. Best team in baseball, already got better. And then you have the Yankees getting Jazz Chisholm. You have the Seattle getting a Rosarena. You have the Padres getting a relief pitcher.
Cubs.
The Cubs. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, that's bizarre to me.
Well, he's locked up. Paredes is locked up for like 4
years. They're an interesting kid because they could still trade rentals and say that they sold but acquired stuff for the future because Nate Pearson's 2.5 years of control and Paredes is 3.5 years of control.
Yeah.
They're going for it next year.
So my question to you guys. So the Red Sox are going up. This list of teams the Red Sox are going up against. Like, realistically. Okay, you have the Royals. You have the Twins. You have the Astros. You have the Mariners. Those would be the
Yankees.
Top. The Yankees. And if you want to stretch it out, you could say the Orioles. The Orioles also have made moves. They got Zach Eflin, but they continue to lose.
Ice cold.
There's nothing more demoralizing than when you make deals like that and you continue to lose. That stinks. But when the Red Sox did it in 2021, they could at least have the excuse that Kyle Schwarber had a bad hamstring. Right?
Yeah, and then when he came back, they
won.
Winning again.
Yeah. So of those teams, which is a team like you're most afraid is going to get better and take off?
I think definitely the Astros because they are so under the radar after their ice cold start and they have been on fire for like, I think, 2 months now. And there's just some awful vibe about that team that I just can't stand. And so that's my pick. They're very scary.
Okay. How about you, Gordo?
My take's going to be a really unpopular one. I'd watch out for the Yankees because their lineup seems so bad right now. But you add Jazz Chisholm to it. They're going to get Giancarlo Stanton healthy. And then they're going to add Jason Dominguez to it. And they're still looking for another bat.
Jazz Chisholm is wildly average.
But that's not – they have wildly below average.
I agree, though. That their Yankees are – like we've kind of – they've been in a little cold stretch, of a big cold stretch.
Well,
we laugh about it, but
the interesting thing about the Jazz Chisholm thing is that, you know, not great for the clubhouse, whatever – the Yankees are so secure in Aaron Judge completely controlling anything that goes on in there. Like with Verdugo, with Stroman, whatever it is. But they are so secure in that.
What a luxury.
Oh, it's great. Good for them.
It's going great with Verdugo.
Okay, so you guys surfaced a couple teams. I'm going to tell you like what's become the most interesting team at the deadline right now.
Shoot.
The Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah, they're caught in the middle.
You think they could go back?
Because I'm just looking. They lost again today. This Blue Jay series might have blown them out of the water. So they were playing well up until the All-Star break. And when I was down in Texas, they were pretty optimistic. They're getting guys back and so forth and so on. But now, where are they at?
They are 4.5 back in the division and even more back in the wild. They're 6 back in the wild.
Yeah.
They've lost 3 in a row.
Right. So up until this series, did they get swept by the Blue Jays in this series, I think?
Sure did.
Yeah, so they get swept by the Blue Jays. That is a team. So we talk about the Rangers. The Rangers have, you know, guys who are very, very tradable, including our guy Nathan Eovaldi. So Nathan Eovaldi is a fascinating guy at the deadline here. Because, and let's focus on the Red Sox. Sure, you got James Paxton. And sure, Greg Breslow said, yeah, we got our guy. If something comes up. Well, if Nathan Eovaldi becomes available.
Oh, man. That's who you want.
Like, that's who you want.
How could you get better than that? That's a guy who he's familiar with the Red Sox. He's had a ton of playoff success. And he's a great pitcher. What more could you ask
for? And also, let's be honest, guys. The guys that they are banking on, you simply can't. There's nothing against them, but you can't bank on them. You get into innings situations with Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford and all these guys that are unfamiliar. Pavetta's too up and down. Bayo's too up and down.
I mean, a few months ago, we all had the conversation of, oh, Giolito got hurt. I guess you put Tanner Houck in the rotation. And now he's your ace. And I know he's had a great season, and I'm happy for him, and I believe in him. But it's just as far as feeling comfortable in a playoff series, I still think you need a guy. I mean, ideally you have two, but they're not going to.
Well, that's
two.
The point.
Yeah.
That's
and getting there, too, because, I mean, Pavetta's had success, but there are so many of those starts where it's just, I mean, you saw it in Colorado. I mean, that was obviously, like, the biggest of the big blow-up, and it's in Colorado, but he's had a lot of those outings, and it's like, who do you feel like you can trust more?
That, alternate.
That's the thing. We can say, just get in, but you have to have your pitching set up. You have to feel good about things. And we don't know where Houck is going to land. We don't know where Crawford's going to land. We don't know where Pavetta's going to land.
We've seen these guys, like, at the end of last year when Brian Bayo had such a good first half,
so,
and then he just tore down.
To me, it's like, I don't know, like, how you do. You have, sure, you have five pitchers now. You have Paxton, whatever. But to me, it's worth investing. And the Eovaldi thing's also interesting because are you guys familiar with his contract about, like, the vesting option thing with it?
Yeah, I don't know what, like, yes, he has a vesting option if he hits an innings cap for the next.
It's gonna be super close.
But if he hits it,
what's the amount?
Why would he even pick it up? He'll just turn it down. Because if he hits it, he'll be good enough to get another multi-year deal.
Do we have a number on it?
I think it's like $20 million.
Oof,
I'll check.
Yeah, we'll effort that information. But the Texas Rangers were always sort of a wild card at the deadline, and the way that the Blue Jays of all teams, they've sort of buried them. I mean, when Chris Young sits there, he can't say, yep, absolutely, let's go.
$20 million.
Max Scherzer is another one. You know, so.
And I mean, that's a team, the Rangers, if they sold this year, they could be good again next year. It's not like they'd be rebuilding.
That's the thing. I think that the Rangers, as much as it might pain them, like, bite the bullet, sell, see where it takes you. Because that doesn't automatically mean you aren't going to win. Sometimes it goes the other way, right?
Yeah.
And then you can be good even better next year.
And Gordo, you know, and I were talking about the Rays. They're selling off all their pieces. And Gordo goes, well, do you think they're going to make the playoffs now? I said, absolutely. It's the Rays. They have this black magic that they
it
do.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Sell everybody. And this guy you've never heard of comes up and hits 400 for a month.
So the last question is, which team... This is and I'm going to write this down. This is very important. Which team is going to get red? There's always a team that gets red hot after the deadline. Which team is going to get red hot after the deadline? Sammy, go first.
I'm going to go with the Orioles based on the law of averages. They're cold right now, which means soon they'll switch back to being hot. So I think that's the team that's going to get hot after the deadline. They also got Eflin. So
okay,
good ad.
All right, Orioles, give me a National League team, Sammy.
Gordo's giving the National League team?
No, you're giving me the National
League team. Oh, a National League team? I think Philly's just going to
run the... No, that doesn't even count.
Okay, you want a team that's cold right now?
No, I'm talking about a team that's going to come out of nowhere and boom.
Oh, I could see a National League team. I could see the Cubs getting hot. Cubs are fine. They're like an okay team. They added Isak Paredes. How is that pronunciation?
Yep. All right, let's go. Hurry.
Yeah, their issue's the bullpen. If they fix that a little bit, I think they're
all right, real quick, Gordo, what do you got?
My National League team, I'm really confident about Arizona.
They're
going to.
Fighting Lovellos.
They're going to get healthy in the pitching staff. Corbin Carroll.
Gordon Montgomery, he's back pitching. I think he's pitching decently. Yeah, there you go.
And Erod is going to get healthy.
Erod's back. Yep. I like that pick.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll. And they're adding. They're adding. So
they are adding.
AJ Puck. I really like AJ Puck. Love AJ Puck. In the AL, let's be optimistic here. Give me the Red Sox.
All right. Red Sox.
Good guy, Gordo.
All right. Hey, listen, guys. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Play Tessie at Play Tessie. Gordo, Sammy, thank you so much. We're going to get ready. Cooper Boardman leading into the first pitch. This is a big game. Remember, baseball isn't boring. Zach, Beyond the Glass, excellent job. Baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Subscribe, rate, review. But most importantly, just enjoy. Baseball isn't boring. See you next week.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.